I have had a preacher, in fact, Deeper Life. I have heard him say, God will hold you responsible if any sinner around you dies without salvation. I said, God will never hold me responsible for anybody that dies without salvation, because every man shall give account of himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. This book of life, when was that list compiled and written in that book? When? From the foundation of the world. The book of life was written from the foundation of the world. There is a book with the names of every human being that will be saved. And Jesus Christ has not come because he's waiting for the last name there to come in. Once he comes in, he calls it, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans 11 verse 25 calls the fullness of the Gentiles. The last one comes in. Then the rapture can strike. Praise the Lord. It is because of Chibueze. That is why Jesus never come. Eh? Do you believe it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, if you understand what eternal life is, what salvation is, what God is doing, the mystery of redemption, and you find yourself now redeemed, saved, those people that come into Christ by that revelation, their type of Christianity is different from religious Christians. You see? There is always something that God will do to establish you, to make you appreciate salvation, redemption. One of the things he makes you see is where he brings you from. Where he brings you from. Amen. Hallelujah. When you notice, he will first allow you to have the revelation of heaven and hell. Then, you will see, anytime you turn and look back and see your close friends and relations that died outside of Christ, died as unbelievers, then you begin to say, I will have also died like them. So if I had died an unbeliever, where will I have ended up? Then you begin to thank him for not allowing you to die until you came in. Praise God. That's why we have every reason. How many people understand what I'm saying? How many of you? How many people have a testimony of true salvation? Wave your hand. You have a testimony of true salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are many. Thank you. I hope when the rapture strike, we shall be this many there. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. With the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them free, it is burning now with the fire. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, I'm one of them.
Are you one of them?
I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, these people may not learn it, nor boast of what they think. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now what far away is far is near the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
Hallelujah,
one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I am one of them.
Oh,
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service. Now what we did for them that day, He will do us a favor. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Yes, sir.
Come, my brother, give this blessing that we cleanse your heart from sin. I will start the joy that's ringing. I will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now with the fire of glory to His name.
Hey, I'm so glad
I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah!
One of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I journey through the land,
singing as I go,
pointing souls to Calvary,
to the crimson stone.
Many arrows pierce my soul from without within,
but my soul goes to Him.
Hallelujah!
Oh, I want to see. Look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares of past, oh my God,
ever to rejoice.
Yes, sir.
When in service for my Lord, that may be a lie. But I came more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thought aside. But my Lord, oh, the hell is with
hallelujah!
Oh, look upon His face. We are to sing forever.
Oh,
let me lift my voice. Cares of power.
Yes, sir.
Living below is so simple. And the cup of cannonball. Leading a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone.
Yes, sir.
We get along in sweeter call.
Sweeter call.
Love when my soul.
this manna from above. Oh, where could I go but to thy house? Oh, where could I go?
Where could I go?
Oh, where could I go?
See,
I refuse for my
soul.
Needing a friend to help me. Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own love. Yet when I face the chilling hands of death, where will I go but to God? Oh, where will I go?
Coming back again.
The Lord is coming back again.
He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I will see Jesus someday. Sometime. I will see Jesus someday. Those are the songs for the bride. And many more. People who have made up their mind to go to heaven. People who have benefited from the grace of God. Those who have experienced true salvation. I know why I keep emphasizing true salvation. There is Christianity by experience, and there is Christianity as a religion. See? I'm talking about those who are Christians by experience. The experience they have from actual contact with God. Something that happened around you that confirms to you there is a God that loves you. Amen. Okay, just before we round off this, a sister sent me a text, forgotten your name, about a dream you had. I told you to see me this night. Are you here? Can you stand up, please? Is the sister here? I can't remember your name. Can you stand up? Who is the sister? Where is she? About midnight something. Come, she's coming out. Come. She looked very worried from that revelation. I asked you when you started coming to this church, say December. So just about less than 2 months old in the church here. Okay, tell us, what was it you saw? What was the dream you had?
So I've been having an attack in the dream. And physically, I will see that they cut my body.
No, you had a dream about midnight, something midnight cry. Are you the one? No, you're not the one. So you call me about what? Handkerchief. Oh, you are the one that I consecrated. I gave you handkerchief on Wednesday. Who are those that came here at that Wednesday program? Okay? I hope your handkerchief is still with you. Those looking for fruit of the womb. Her own disappeared from her bag. Amen. I'll give you another one today.
Amen.
It may not be your own, but the one I want to talk. A lady that had a dream about midnight cry. You are the one. Huh? Come now. See me later for another handkerchief. Whether the devil like it or not, you must get belay. Yes, sister, let's hear you. Go ahead, let's hear her.
Around 12 in the night, I praise God and I pray. The next thing I saw myself, I see plane and motor. The plane is this side, the motor is this side. So I was trying to enter the plane. My mind was telling me that I should step back. As I stepped back, I looked at the motor. I didn't see anybody that much that is entering the motor, but I see many people that enter the plane. The next thing I heard the voice say, this is a midnight call. This is a midnight cry. This is a midnight cry. I said, midnight cry. What is the meaning of midnight cry? I heard another voice say, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I wake up by force. I started wording. I said, Jesus is coming soon. I said, I didn't believe that Jesus is coming soon.
You don't believe? It's okay. She's being truthful to herself. Yes.
So I was worried in the morning. I called my second. I tell my second. He said, you don't know the meaning of the dream. I say, okay, but I'll call pastor and tell him what is the meaning of midnight call, midnight cry. I don't know the meaning of midnight cry.
Praise the Lord. That's why I ask, if you are an old member of this church, you will know the meaning of midnight cry. How many of you know the midnight cry? Thank you. Put down your hand. Okay. There are people that are new in the church or visitors here today. If you don't know the meaning of midnight cry, can you wave your hand? Can you see? There are many. Can you stand up? God bless you. Just stand up. Just stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stand up now. Let's just see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now. Okay, God bless you. Be seated. I wanted to be sure of the number of hands of about half of us here don't know the midnight cry. Amen. You know why I'm laughing? Why I'm laughing is, I say, rapture will strike. Churches will be organizing seminar on prosperity. Amen. Rapture will take place, and Christians, people supposedly that have made up their mind truly to serve the Lord, and they want to go to heaven, but they will discover that rapture has taken place and they are still waiting for rapture. Amen. But I believe, like I always say, nobody comes to this church by accident. See, all this number of people, they don't know the meaning of midnight cry. And some of you are workers in your churches. Your pastor will make sure you pay your tithes. He will teach you everything about prosperity. It will teach you everything you need to know. How to make your enemies to fall down and die. It will teach you everything. How to even live a holy life. Don't palm your head. Don't wear trousers, sister. You are just make sure, live a sanctified life. Leave a camp. Don't lose your sanctification. And every day they take communion service in the church. Just imagine that somebody is betrothed, a lady is betrothed to a man. You are engaged to a man. And you don't know his name. You don't know his identity, where he comes from. And he said the wedding is concluded. And you don't know the date. And you don't know which cloth you will wear that day. Or the venue for the wedding. And you still claim, it's my fiance. That is how Christians are. And that's the reason why God has directed some of you here. I believe with the whole of my heart that anybody that finds this ministry comes here and you find this place comfortable. Because it's not everybody that comes here a second time. And you find this place comfortable, I believe with the whole of my heart that you are part of God's program for the rapture. That's why you can come here. I believe it with the whole of my heart. That is the reason why we have decided to make sure we tell you nothing but the truth. Anyhow we say, please, don't bother about how we say it in this church. Because we are not trained how to talk to people. See? When John the Baptist was telling them, you generation of vipers. He was already telling people who came to be baptized. He was already telling people who believed his ministry. And they were coming. He called them, you generation of vipers. Who told you to run away from the wrath that is coming? And he added, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. He said, that is, live a life that confirms you have repented. Don't only come for water baptism. He didn't know how else he has to call them generation of vipers. Does it mean he hated them? No. So when we say it the way we say it here, contrary to where you are coming from, it is because we know what nonsense they have stuffed into your spirit man. The stupid picture they have given you about Christianity, we to kick it out. It will not be by small, small talk. It can't kick out that thing from you. We have to say it hard. When two boxers are in the ring, they don't romance one another. The champion will have to be the one that we hit the hardest. And we are on the winning side in this church. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the midnight cry. It's the parable of the foolish and the wise virgin. Can we open it? Will you give me 15 minutes to explain it to them? Thank you. If you see it, please take it and open it for us. And read it. Somebody take the microphone and read it for us. Matthew chapter 25, read it from verse 1. I want somebody who has gone to afternoon school, please, not evening school.
Praise the Lord. Book of Matthew chapter 25, from verse 1.
Yes.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish.
Now hold on, sir. Let's take it step by step. They took their lambs to do what? To meet who? Listen, church. The emphasis there is that they were virgins. They were virgin, meaning they were uncontaminated. And they are talking of two groups of Christians. They are people that are ready to serve God with the whole of their heart. They believe in Him and Him alone. They serve Him by at least what they know to be the truth and the truth alone. They stand on the word. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't even fornicate. They won't lie. That's what makes them virgins, uncontaminated by the spirit of the world. They will not share the glory of God with anyone concerning their lives. Jesus and Jesus alone. They were virgins, but there were two groups. One was foolish. Another group was wise. Read on.
And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish.
Uh-huh.
They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Uh-huh.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with them, with their lamps.
You see, what made the wise ones to be wise? Both the foolish and the wise, they had oil. They had the lamb. Both the foolish and the wise, they had the lamb. And church, the lamp here is the word of God. I think 119 verse 105 or so. What did he say? Psalm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light on my path. The word, thy word. So if they all had lamb, and the lamp of God is the word of God, the Bible, the word. They all had the word, which is the lamb. But read on.
Verse 4.
Yes, read verse 3 again.
Verse 3. They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Those that were what? Read it again.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
That is it. What made the first group wise is because they took the lamb and they had oil. But the foolish one, what made them foolish is that they too had the word, but they had no oil. So if you don't have oil, how can the lamb shine? How can the lamb burn and show you the way? So that made them foolish. So what is the oil there? The oil there is the Holy Ghost that giveth revelation. So the oil there is the revelation that comes by the Holy Ghost. You can have this Bible, and if there is no revelation, this Bible will be useless to you. You will still end up in hell, like every other person. The Bible is a lamp. Revelation is the oil that keeps this, makes this Bible to be meaningful, makes the Word of God to be meaningful. Read on.
Verse 4.
Yes.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Yes.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
70.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
While the bridegroom tarried, it means they were all expecting the bridegroom, but somehow, listen, church, the bridegroom tarried. Who is the bridegroom? Say it if you know his name. Call his name. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom that every virgin is expecting. But he has been tarrying since he left. Almost 2,000 years ago. Every day we are expecting he will come tomorrow. He will expect he will come tomorrow. He will expect. While he tarried, both the wise and the foolish, what happened? They slumbered and did what? They slept.
And at midnight, there was a cry made.
At midnight of their sleep. At midnight of their sleep. Both foolish and wise virgins, they were all sleeping. At midnight, there was a cry made. Where's the sister? What's your name? Mercy. Sister Mercy. At midnight, there was a cry. That is the midnight cry. At midnight, there was a cry. Say what?
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
That cry was shouting, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Go ye out to meet him.
He said, go ye out. The cry was to the virgins. Behold, all of you are sleeping. Wake up. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Read on.
Then all those virgins arose.
All the virgins arose.
And trimmed their lamps.
Now they trimmed their lamps. What is it to trim lamp? Is to set the lamp so that it can shine properly. It may be overshining, or undershining. So you trim it so that it can be bright. We all know, all of us, we are in Nigeria here where there is no electricity. So we all know about, in Hausa we call it Achibalba. What do you call it in Igbo? Akbalaka. Praise the Lord. They all arose and trimmed their lamps.
And the foolish said unto the wise.
Why? Because it gets to a stage now. Okay, finish that statement.
Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. 14. For the kingdom of heaven.
It's okay. He said, you don't know when the Son of Man cometh. Because the end of that revelation, Sister Mercy, you received, was the voice telling you that Jesus is coming soon. After I spoke to her on the phone, she called back again shortly after and said, please, Pastor, tell them out there that Jesus is coming soon. She was so worried. He said, please, Pastor, this coming of Jesus is real. Tell them. And I told her, now what do they talk with that every day? Amen. The emphasis, her question is the midnight cry. Remember, that scripture is a parable. But as much as a parable, it is explaining to us a condition that the church will go through. The history of the church in advance spoken in parables. And we are in the age for the fulfillment of that parable. Because with all that went through in the church history, a time came, hallelujah, that the revival that started from the upper room experience and all that went through, somehow, a condition arises in Christendom where the focus for the rapture is now put aside, and now a focus now of the church now is now into earthly things. Remember, sister, you saw a vehicle and you saw a plane. Praise the Lord. God was giving you a powerful message. Amen. They are all means of transportation. But the plane is a heaven-bound means of transportation. It takes you to the heavenlies. But the vehicle remains on earth. It will never go up. It's telling you the two types of Christians on earth today. The two types of churches on earth today. The two types of spirits in the church of Jesus Christ today. It is nothing but a description of the church of Jesus Christ. No part of the Bible is written to unbelievers in the beer parlor. I hope we know that. Everything you see in the New Testament is written to believers. And the whole, everybody seem relaxed. Before you know what? Concerning all the revelations that pertain to salvation, confusion arose. Everywhere, some believe it should be like this, some believe it should be like that. That is when the doctrine of Trinity came in. Three persons in one God. It was not so in the beginning. It is in that sleeping condition that Satan crept in and began to, because if they were alert, they would have noticed a lot of things creeping into the church that were unscriptural. It was within that period that they begin to ordain women pastors. It is within that period also that now a lot of doctrines, like Jesus Christ said, "You in vain do you worship me, worship God," he said, "teaching for doctrines, commandments of men." Commandments of men had, you know, to be injected into the church. Hallelujah. It is then, you see, water baptism that was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now was perverted, and now you have water baptism that should be even by immersion. They started sprinkling water and call it baptism. They started baptizing infants and call it baptism. You heard on Tuesday why somebody said he could not partake of the communion in his church, because he has only been baptized, he has not yet been confirmed. And I asked him, "Who is the one that is to confirm you?" He says, "It's the bishop that will confirm you." Hallelujah. That was the period. They started baptizing in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Within this period, instead of them to wait for the Holy Ghost to place us as he wills in positions, they began to place themselves in positions of leadership in the church. And within this same period was when you begin to have titles like Reverend Doctor, Most Senior Apostle, Archbishop. His Holiness, His Grace. It was within that period of sleep. That was the sleeping condition that produced all the errors. Before you know what, Bishop now has a special cloth he wears. Before you know what, all the other doctrines, it was within the same period that now a teaching comes in. In fact, within that period, it was within that period, they stopped miracles in the church. No gifts of the Holy Ghost in the church. And when the gifts began again to come in from 1906, they were still in that same sleeping condition. And that's why the creeping and say speaking in tongue is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And then we gather people, instead of ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they teach them how to speak in tongue. You see? Within that same period, that was when the doctrine of, or the message of "it doesn't matter" crept into the church. You can come anyhow, it doesn't matter. God is a good God. It's all within that period. Until the church gets so worldly, it is when the world coming into the church and the light of the gospel totally covered by false doctrines, that is the midnight, the darkest hour of apostasy, of error in the church. At that darkest hour, when this Bible was no longer the book to lead the people, but a group of people come together and decide what should be done and what should not be done in the church, whether it is contrary to the Bible or not. That was the period they begin to give condition. You can't even be a preacher unless you go to Bible school. You can't even be a pastor unless you go to Bible school. That was the period. Instead of God to call men into the ministry, men now, we are ordaining people with their own prerequisites to make them preachers. That was the time that the gospel was commercialized. Nobody will use his gift unless there is a gain in it. That was that period. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The darkest hour, at that darkest hour, in 1933, this scripture was quickened. Verse 6 of Matthew 25. At midnight, there was a cry made. That cry made is a ministry. God himself comes down in a ministry. He raised a man in this age, in the darkest hour of apostasy of the church, and screamed, come out of that nonsense. Come back to Bible Christianity. In this age, he used that man, William Marion Braham. William Marion Braham. Use him to tell the whole world to come back to Bible Christianity. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. It means a ministry that is pointing the people to the soon coming of the Lord. While others are pointing you to material possessions here on earth, that man screamed to take your head upward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is that man that began to point us to scriptures that we are fulfilling before our eyes. And people were not knowing it. In AD 70, Israel was scattered because they rejected Christ. They scattered them everywhere. It was in their absence that the Palestinians went and took over the land, and they are claiming to be their own till today. But there are prophecies that say he will bring them back. It is that same man, William Branham, that began to tell us, pointing to the prophecies and parables in the Bible, that tells us that when you see Israel stand as a nation, then he said, this generation shall not pass until they say, see all these things that he has spoken of come to pass. Which generation? The generation that will see Israel stand as a nation. And in 1948, Israel became an independent nation. And it's written in the Bible, the generation that will see Israel stand as a nation, it is that generation that will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the generation is about 100 years. And from 1948 till now, you can calculate it and know how many years left. That's why all of us here, we will not die out of old age until Jesus Christ comes. This is the age that we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why it was the message that that man preached that brought the revival, that brought a song like Nations Are Breaking, Israel's Awaking, the sign that the prophet foretold. The Gentile is numbered with hallows and combat. Eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah! Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Spirit, your lamps stream and clear. Oh, look up, your redemption is near. Hallelujah, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps stream and clear. That was the midnight cry. God raised a ministry in this age. And you are surprised you don't know about him. You are surprised you have never heard about that man, William Branham. He started his ministry in 1933 with all vindications that no preacher in this age has received. With all signs, a prophet, and more than a prophet, because he was a dispensational prophet. He came with the word of God to his bride in this age. He came with a voice. He was the voice of God. He's screaming out to us. He died in 1965. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has revealed to his servant, the prophet. That voice. Why? Because once the church of Jesus Christ started, from that upper room experience, the church started. The first church age started. With the gospel now moving to the Gentiles. When Israel rejected the gospel came to us. And our age for the period for that was allotted to the Gentiles, for him to come and pick a bride from the Gentiles before he will turn back to the Jews that rejected him. The first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. We've explained this here several times. Praise the Lord. Salvation was meant for the Jews. They turned it down. That is why the gospel was suspended from them, and they came to Gentiles. Matthew chapter 22, that parable. Yes, he decided to go to the highways, to the byways, and invited all that he met, both good and bad, to the feast. We are the ones invited, a type of Esther, to replace Vashti. We are the queen to replace the old queen Vashti that rejected the entities of King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. And we are the ones, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In this age, church, when the gospel came, it is to last, it is not to last forever. The gospel will end in this, the Gentiles, with the rapture. Once the rapture strikes, no more salvation for the Gentiles. Salvation is over. The day you hear that rapture has struck, and you will not go, just know you are finished. But the interesting thing about it is, hallelujah, they will not know. They will not know. Because the Bible says, when they will say peace, peace, what will happen? Because it will come to them suddenly. But by the time they will realize, it will be too late. This thing I am saying is in the Bible, and every true servant of God, this should be the message, the priority message. For this age now, brother. But what are they talking about? Watch the television. Hear me whether anybody speaks anything concerning going home. And I saw one preacher that attempted to say anything in that direction, and he was messing it up. Why will he not mess it up when they turn down the voice of God to this generation? Amen. I was watching on the television. I called my wife. I said, come and listen to this blind preacher. Trying to talk about the rapture. Trying to talk about... He was trying to explain the book of Revelation. Praise God. And thousands of people were gathered in that church. And they were with Bible and paper. As if the man was saying something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In that condition that the church was in, a man was raised up by God. I say it again, they hate that man. William Marion Braham. But I always say, I thank God that he made me to see the ministry of this man. Oh, oh no. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He loves me. I cannot tell why. He loves me, I cannot tell. Oh, how
Calvary is me.
He
suffered for me.
Oh,
he loves me, I cannot tell.
I don't know why he loves me so much that he will cause me to see his move. Not too many people understand Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. He says, for we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. He said, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? He is the chief cornerstone. What is a cornerstone in a building? A building is not a straight wall. A building, and we are built together. The Bible says we are built together a house of God for his habitation. That is who we are. If we are a house of God, God has been building this house for the past almost 2,000 years now. He has been building a habitation for himself called the church. And if you are building, it cannot be a straight line like that. There has to be some curves to create something, to create the picture that the builder, the architect, has put together. And the church of Jesus Christ is a building, and when it is time to turn, it is Jesus Christ that will turn. And you will follow him. He's the chief cornerstone. That is, he tells you when to bend. He tells you when to bend. William Barham preached a message entitled The Junction of Time. What is the junction of time? At every junction you will reach, a junction. Bah! There has to be a decision. Turn left or turn right. He is the chief cornerstone. He will tell you where to turn. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 7 church ages the church was to go through. And every age had a messenger, beginning with Apostle Paul, when the gospel came to the Gentiles. And church history, every theologian knows this. 7 church ages. This is the 7th one, and it is the last one. Confirming what Jesus Christ spoke in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. The 7 stars that were in his right hand and 7 candlesticks. Verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1 says, tells us that those stars, 7 stars, they are the messengers to the churches. The 7 churches. Each church had its messenger. Each 7 church had her angel, has her messengers. And he said, the candlesticks, they were the 7 churches. Speaking about the 7 church ages, each age had a messenger. And this age, which is the 7th church age, known as the church of Laodicea, the Laodicean church age, God raised that man as the light. He was the light bearer for this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, in the days of the voice, Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. One mystery, not mysteries. One mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul tells us which mystery. The mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. That one mystery will be rounding up in the days of the voice of the 7th angel. That's why we are sure this is the age that we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are scriptures we are looking at that will soon be fulfilled. There are scriptures. Ezekiel 38 and verse chapter 39. We are still waiting for that war to take place in the Middle East. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The emphasis there, the midnight cry, Sister Mercy. The midnight cry. The midnight cry there is the end time message. The Bible says, hallelujah, at midnight there was a cry made. Now, listen, church. Apostle Paul, also, he was not there when Jesus Christ was speaking those parables. He was not there. There was no book written anywhere for Apostle Paul to read, to see the chronicle of all the parables that Jesus Christ gave. But when Apostle Paul was talking to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, can somebody help us read it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Who is our lay reader? Read it from verse 13.
Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13.
Yes.
But I would not have you to be ignorant.
He said, I will not have you to be ignorant.
Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that yes or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself...
Verse 16. Listen to that verse 16 very well. Say it.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Hallelujah. Therefore, go on.
18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen.
So we comfort one another by his word. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his return.
Oh,
same revelation. And he gave the Thessalonians and to the Lagos Christians too. How Christ will come. He said, for the Lord himself, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself will descend with what? A shout. After the shout, what? The voice of the archangel. After that, what? The trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive will be changed in a moment. And will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. That is the hope of our calling. That is the hope of our calling. Anytime you turn around and you see things very difficult on earth here, console yourself with this hope. Now, one of these days, we'll be with our Savior Lord. Hallelujah. The emphasis there is the Apostle Paul was telling us the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in three stages. Church, listen, because you will never hear this in any denomination. You will never see this in any bookshop.